You might recall, during the first sermon on our series on James, I related to you a quote from Martin Luther. That Martin Luther said that the letter of James was a right strawy epistle, for it has no gospel in it. I hope that over the past few weeks you have come to see the gospel message that James has embedded in his letter, how what James writes challenges us in our living. And this morning, we take a look at the end of this letter, at James's final instructions for us. And I find it fitting that James ends his letter by speaking about prayer. His letter does not end in the way that many of Paul's letters end, with a final farewell. Instead, James simply leaves us with a word on prayer. Are any among you suffering, he writes, they should pray. Continually throughout this passage, James urges us to pray for ourselves and to pray for one another. He writes, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Sometimes I think we discount the power of prayer in our lives. We might wonder why it is effective or how it is effective. We have our doubts. We might pray for something and be disappointed when our prayer isn't answered. We might wonder if our faith is strong enough. What James tells us is that our prayer is important and that it does have an effect. You see, friends, we are active agents in prayer. When we pray, we are not taking part in a passive activity. Our prayer compels us. It moves us forward. We take responsibility for what we have prayed for. Prayer becomes less about something we need and more about something which we do. Through prayer, we support one another. We support the community of faith. And through prayer, we help usher in the kingdom. If we understand prayer through the lens of James's letter, then we see that prayer is a part of the work which we do in faith. James writes a lot about practical faith. That is, how our faith is apparent and seen in the world. How the work which we do is a result of the faith which is active and alive. When we consider our faith as James describes it, then we begin to see our prayer as part of our work as Christians. That as followers of Christ, prayer is not just about communicating and petitioning God. It is part of our work to establish God's kingdom. It is at this point that James shifts gears and closes out his letter with a final word on what we as followers of Christ are called to do. It is a thought which summarizes much of the gospel. We are called to bring back the lost. we recognize that we don't make this journey alone. God calls us to be in community. By that very fact, we know that we will need to lean on and depend on others. James writes, "If any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul." With these words, James reminds us that within a community, within a family, we need to rely on one another to care for and look out for one another. And let's be clear, each one of us is a sinner. And so we are called to constantly bring one another back. Now, I think that each one of us sitting here today can think of a family member who is the black sheep. That brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, who no one really sees all that often. We think about them from time to time, but often there is little or no engagement. And the same could maybe be said with our church families. Right now, each of you sitting here can think of and name one person who you haven't seen for the past few weeks, perhaps months, perhaps years. They used to be a vibrant and faithful member of this community of faith, but they just haven't been out very much lately. Take a moment, think about that person, who they are, their hobbies, their work, their family. Now I want you to take a brief, quiet moment right now, and I would like you to pray for that person. So in this time right now, pray for that person. There was a church once. It was around, it was Christmas Eve. And there was a little boy who was assigned to light the Christ candle. But at the last moment, as he was coming down the center aisle, he just froze. Fear gripped him. And he said, loud enough for the entire church to hear, "I'm scared." So his dad got up and took him by the hand and led him to the front of the church where he proudly lit the Christ candle. That little boy needed someone he trusted to lead him down the aisle. And so it is also true with God's wandering children. It won't be easy. we'll have to be persistent. Because without a relationship of trust, it will be very difficult, if not nigh impossible, to lead all of the wanderers home. We are called to establish that relationship of trust. In Christian fellowship, part of how we develop that bond is through our prayer for one another. What James writes about here echoes the parable of the prodigal son. We are called to invite people back and to welcome them back in a way which says, "You never left." It is everyone's responsibility to care for the lost. We do this through prayer, and we do this through our actions of Christian living. This week, I would ask you, I would challenge you to invite someone back. We all know of someone who, with a gentle ask and some prayer, may one day sit among us as part of our family of faith. Doesn't mean that they'll come next week or the week after, but continue to work and to develop on that relationship of that individual who we've been missing. Friends, let's reach out together and invite people back into our community of faith, God's community of faith. Amen.